listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. We are a single-issue organization devoted to opposing the powerful and very well-funded homosexual, bisexual, transsexual lobby. And I'm very excited to be interviewing our guests for the next 3 weeks. He's that good, and if I had more shows, I'd give him more. We're going to be talking to Gary Glenn, who's the president of American Family Association of Michigan. But before I do that, I just want to remind everybody that all our shows are archived on AmericansForTruth.org or .com, whatever you prefer. And we have they're all archived at the button on the right, Americans for Truth Hour. Also, we're perpetually broke, so send Americans for Truth some funds if you can. We're a tax-deductible organization, 501c3 nonprofit. And just peruse our website, sign up for our emails. I'm on Twitter and Facebook. I've been trying that the last couple weeks, and that's quite a story in itself. It's a weird world, but it's the social media is where things are going. Before we start with Gary, I want to say that I saw Oprah. We're pre-recording this first part of the interview. Today is Wednesday, January 26th. This will air on Saturday, the 29th, and the next two Saturdays after that. But a couple days ago, I saw Oprah Winfrey, one of the most disturbing Oprah Winfrey shows I've seen ever. And I know she's a strong promoter of the homosexual activist movement, but this episode was particularly It was just creepy evil is how I can describe it. Oprah was talking about all her so-called coming out episodes where she celebrates people declaring their homosexuality. And what was really creepy about it was obviously people had been influenced by Oprah interviewing homosexuals to come out, as the homosexual activists say, as homosexuals in their own families. And she had a couple of cases where the wife in a normal married relationship decides that she's a lesbian, leaves her husband. And in one case, I think that the guy after that went gay, declared himself a homosexual. And it just, you know, the kids, one of the times the guy says, well, one of the couples had children, and the guy said, well, at least the children will have, our kids will have more people in their lives. You know, the lesbian other partner, the homosexual male other partner. And it was just wicked. And, you know, this is where America is headed. People like Oprah Winfrey have popularized homosexuality. They have left whatever form of faithful Christianity they were raised in. I'm pretty sure Oprah was raised in a more Orthodox Christian upbringing, certainly not where she's evolved to. And, you know, the reason we exist is to counter this political correctness that jettisons thousands of years of time-tested Judeo-Christian history for this newfangled idea that homosexuality is just another lifestyle. And even if you have kids, hey, the mom can go have a lesbian partner, and the dad can become gay, and the kids will be raised by homosexual aunts and uncles. I don't know what you call them. But, you know, it's just very, very sad. And I believe that someday Oprah will have to answer to her creator about what you did with your influence. She's a woman of incredible talent and influence in not just America, in the whole world. And yet here she is using it to promote a lifestyle that God has declared sinful. But enough of the soapbox there. Gary, are you on the line?
We're here, Pete. Great to be with you.
Well, Gary, it's an honor to interview Gary Glenn. Gary Glenn, as I said, is the president of the American Family Association of Michigan. And folks, this is going to be one of the most important interviews that we've ever done, because I believe that Gary Glenn has an awful lot to teach pro-family people, and not just pro-family conservatives, just conservatives in general. He is a very effective pro-family activist. What I love about Gary is he's fearless. He doesn't. He's not one of these guys who's namby-pamby or puts the Republican Party politics above his pro-family stance. He is aggressive and yet compassionate towards homosexuals. And I believe if there were, this is not just flattery, Gary. I believe if there was a Gary Glenn in every state in the union, America would be a far different place. And Gary, kudos to you and congratulations for all the great work you've done.
Well, P, I appreciate those kind words, and I read just about every time you have a guest on your show on the various homosexual activist blogs, their critique, and certainly they'll have a field day for the next several weeks with you and me both in the same show.
Yeah, they love it. They love it when we interview together, guys like you and Matt Barber and Gary. My goal for these next three episodes is not just to recount some of the wonderful work you've done, but also to teach people. And let's go into just briefly your bio. Now, before you went, how long have you been at AFA Michigan, Gary?
I think it's almost 12 years now.
12 years. And before that, did you work at National Right to Work?
That was in the back in the 80s. I actually was on staff with the National Right to Work Committee for 1 year, 1983, in their Washington office. But spent about 7 years in various state operations. Most significantly, was executive director of the Idaho Right to Work Organization, which successfully passed a right to work law through the legislature, overrode a Democratic governor's veto, and then successfully defended it on the ballot despite being outspent $3 million to $1 million in the 1986 general election. And Pete, that issue is not totally separated from the issue we're going to talk mainly about today, because, for example, as I make the case, in Michigan, according to all the pre-election polls and the exit polls, two-thirds of all union households in Michigan voted in favor of our marriage protection amendment, constitutionally defining marriage as only between one man and one woman. And yet, the AFL-CIO and the NEA, the organizations which are able to fund their operations and campaign activities through compulsory dues, you either pay up or you're fired, aggressively opposed the Marriage Protection Amendment. And when the ACLU filed a lawsuit against Michigan's Marriage Protection Amendment a year or so later, the plaintiff was Pride at Work, AFL-CIO. So it was the AFL-CIO's in-house homosexual activist group that was the plaintiff that tried to have the Michigan Supreme Court throw out the Marriage Protection Amendment, even though two-thirds of all union households in Michigan had voted in favor of the Marriage Protection Amendment. And those very people, many of them God-fearing Christian folks who sit in the pews on Sundays, had no choice as a condition of keeping their jobs. They have to give money to these various union organizations that use their compulsory dues money to promote the homosexual agenda. And it was really striking, Pete. Pride at Work, AFL-CIO, which is headquartered at the AFL-CIO headquarters in Washington, on their website, their symbol used to show up as a clenched fist under which it said, Proud Union Queer. So the right to work issue, the right to work law, making it illegal to compel employees to have to give money to labor organizations under threat of being fired, actually helps protect Christians from being forced in 28 states in America, as they are today, to financially subsidize union officials' promotion of the homosexual agenda.
Right, and we see this. We know that the other side has the guns with the money and the political power. And the same could apply, doesn't it, Gary, to the teachers' union, the National Education Association? A lot of teachers don't want to support that union, which now, I believe, endorses homosexual so-called marriage much of the homosexual activist agenda.
The NEA is one of the most radical left-wing organizations in the country today, and they were far ahead of their brethren in the AFL-CIO in that regard. Even as far back as 1986, when Right to Work was on the ballot in Idaho, the NEA at that time had already taken, you know, in terms of the language and rhetoric of its resolutions passed at its annual conventions, was already endorsing the homosexual agenda. It took the AFL-CIO almost a generation later, it wasn't until 2005 that the AFL-CIO Executive Committee unanimously passed a resolution endorsing so-called homosexual marriage, endorsing cross-dressing rights on the job. You know, a guy out on the plant floor demanding that he be allowed to use the women's restroom, claiming he's a woman, for example, and opposing all of the state marriage protection amendments. And I think that these two issues, therefore, go hand in hand. But in terms of firepower, Pete, I want to commend you and salute you. You said that AFTA, Americans for Truth, about homosexuality is a single-issue organization. And I know you're criticized, as groups like ours are, for your supposed singular focus on that one issue. Well, AFA Michigan gets criticized for the same thing, even though we deal with a number of issues, that just being one of the more prominent ones. But in the context of the fact that there are probably, Pete, two dozen national, multi-million dollar organizations whose sole purpose is to promote the homosexual agenda, whether it be in the arts or the media or in public schools or in Congress, the fact that they, it's almost laughable that they dare criticize you for having an organization that, to my knowledge, is the only one nationally whose singular purpose is to stand up to those dozen multi-million dollar organizations best you can. So I salute you and commend your work.
Well, thanks, Gary. And yeah, anybody who stands up to the agenda, of course, gets pilloried. And I want to go into more of your bio, Gary, but I'm sure you've been called a homosexual like I have. But you have five children, is that correct?
That's correct.
And I want to get into their great names after this break. We're talking to Gary Glenn of the American Family Association of Michigan. Gary is, I think, one of the top pro-family activists in the nation. He's a former Eagle Scout. He does tremendous work, and I want to read some of his comments from his critics and friends after the break. This is Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth Hour. We're at AmericansForTruth.org, and Gary is at AFAMichigan.org. Back to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera interviewing my friend Gary Glenn, who's the president of American Family Association of Michigan, affiliated with the National American Family Association, and Gary is a top activist. Gary, you're an Eagle Scout. You got that at age 13. You have a military background. You completed 8 years as a member of the U.S. Army Reserves and Idaho and Michigan Army National Guards. So you are you have a little extra credentials there to comment on what just happened with the military. Tell us your thoughts on that. I know you said this was a big. I don't have your exact quote in front of me, but this is a very sad day for our military. When the military opened up, Congress voted to open up the military to open homosexuality.
Well, it is at the same time infuriating, and it also makes me heartsick for those men and women who have volunteered to serve our country. They're probably the segment of our society to which we should pay the most deference. And yet those people willing to sacrifice for us and our freedom are now going to be forced to serve as guinea pigs in the social experimentation of the Obama administration. All the more infuriating that it happened only with the votes of the very people that had just been rejected at the election ballot box in November. And, of course, there were, I believe, 8 Republican U.S. senators without whose vote the lame duck Democrats would not have been able to pass it. And I'm hopeful that it's something that we'll be able to eventually repeal.
Okay, Gary, let's get into that, because we're both, I think, one of the most admirable traits about you in terms of the public policy that we both work in is you're not one of these Republican firsters. That's what I call them, people who show deference to Republican Party elites rather than the values that they're supposed to defend. You've never done that, and I think you've earned the admiration of people across the country for your principled stand. You've also been you're also hated by RINOs, the acronym for Republicans in name only. Tell me, we just heard the State of the Union. I didn't hear any Republican on TV condemning the Obama push for homosexuals in the military. Are we going to see Republicans standing up to try to get that repeal and reinstate a common sense ban on open homosexuality in the military? Or is this going to become the third rail that nobody touches?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's a practical consideration, given that you still have the same commander-in-chief who would veto any attempt to reimpose the outright prohibition. This don't ask, don't tell moniker was not federal law. the federal law actually prohibits individuals who openly identify themselves as involved in the homosexual lifestyle from serving in the United States military because of security concerns. For example, the openly homosexual intelligence officer at the Pentagon who's responsible for all the WikiLeaks.
Yes.
That have been in the news recently.
It's Bradley Manning, right?
Bradley Manning.
It's funny how the media didn't report that much, Gary.
Because of the dramatically, certainly from a per capita standpoint, preponderance of sexual assaults committed by individuals who are secretly in the military and involved in homosexual activity. I mean, to compel a more conservative segment of American society, which is the definition of those who volunteer to serve in the United States military, typically tend to be people of traditional values, to be forced to share showers and barracks and latrines and foxholes and battlefield conditions with people openly involved in the homosexual lifestyle, not only from a moral standpoint, but from a medical standpoint, the severe medical consequences associated with that behavior, and battlefield blood transfusions. I mean, why it simply defies reason or rationale that anyone would institute a public policy that put our men and women in the armed services, especially on the battlefield, at increased risk of being injured or infected on the battlefield through battlefield blood transfusions. So AFA Michigan, I know AFTA, we simply agree with the Commandant of the United States Marine Corps, who said he did not believe it would be in the best interest of the United States military. But it's obviously being used as a tool of social experimentation. If they can force open homosexual activity on the United States military, they assume that that will make it easier to force it on society at large.
Absolutely, Gary. And let's stick with the politics here a little bit. We know that a lot of Republicans are not with us on this. I think they're intimidated by the political correctness, the media, the fact that the media now barely even considers there to be another side to this issue of homosexuality. But we saw some shockers like Pat Toomey and the new senator in Pennsylvania coming out, even though he wasn't voting on the repeal of the ban on homosexuals in the military. He came out and said he would support it. Where do you see this going as a longtime veteran observer of the Republican Party? And what can we do? What can we do to propel the right thing, which is post-Obama, to get back to a ban on homosexuality in the military?
Well, I think we have no choice but to continue to do our best with whatever resources we have to make it an issue in the primary elections of both parties, but certainly the Republican Party. You're going to have a presidential election coming up in 2012. Whoever carries the Republican banner as the nominee for president often sets the tone. It would obviously be good if you had a nominee who was opposed to forcing our armed servicemen and women to share barracks and latrines and foxholes with people involved openly in the homosexual lifestyle. So I know that's something that I intend to continue to do through our, you know, campaign for Michigan families, to the extent that I can influence what happens nationally in the presidential primaries and caucuses, to continue to make that a gauntlet through which Republican candidates at least have to pass, to find out whether or not they agree with what I believe most Americans agree with, and that is that marriage should remain between one man and one woman. I mean, it really defies common sense, even from a political pragmatism standpoint, that you've had on the ballot now in 30 different states marriage protection amendments that clearly reestablish marriage as only between one man and one woman. They're often characterized by the media as being bans on homosexual marriage, even though in many cases these amendments don't mention the word homosexual or ban. That's what they're called by the media. But however they're characterized, in 30 states in which they've appeared on the ballot, they have won voter approval with an average of approval of approaching 70%. And so even for the finger-in-the-wind type of Republicans, you would think that they would look at the results on the election on Election Day over the last 6 to 8 years in 30 different states and see that one side of this equation has won all of those political contests. Why they would run from the traditional standard of what marriage is, I suppose it's just political cowardice or timidity, fear of being criticized by homosexual activists and their allies in academia and Hollywood and the media. But we've just got to continue to do our best to encourage people of courage who either already are in the political arena to stand up for traditional values and traditional morality on this issue, or to encourage others who are not yet in the political arena to enter and pick up the standard.
Yeah, and, you know, it is intimidation, and I think they see that the loud yelling, and unfortunately the media is not does not hold homosexual activists accountable. The media has practically become part of the homosexual activist movement, and I think politicians tend to follow. A lot of times they're worried about what the media says. And so on this issue, you know, on my Facebook page the other day, Gary, I called on Sarah Palin to make her position known on the homosexual agenda, because Sarah Palin, I think, who says a lot of admirable things, pro-life, of course, and I think she was pretty much AWOL on this homosexuals in the military debate, wasn't she?
And there was something about her repeating a Twitter post from her Twitter account that was supportive of allowing openly declaring homosexuals to be in the United States military. I don't know where she stands, so it's certainly appropriate for you to call on her to let us know where she stands.
Right.
I think it's going to be one of the defining issues in the Republican primary for president, but it should be in Republican primaries for all offices. It is my practical political experience, Pete. You know, I ran my first legislative race, managed my first legislative race when I was 20. Spent the first 8 years out of college working for candidates who would, in Idaho, pass a right-to-work law. And my practical political experience led me to this conclusion, that we would succeed on that issue only when politicians feared those who support right-to-work in the primary, Republican primaries, candidates in particular. And when they feared supporters of right-to-work in the Republican primary more than they feared the union officials and their PACs and political allies in the general election. I think this applies to the homosexual issue as well. We need to instill a healthy fear among politicians that daring cross what the people in 30 states have said should remain the standard in the United States. Now, there are some in the pro-family movement who think that it's unseemly to talk in terms of instilling healthy fear in the minds of politicians, but it's my experience that politicians only understand two things: punishment and reward. And if you're not in a position to offer much reward, then you better be prepared to offer punishment. And I simply mean by that politicians who are supportive of the homosexual agenda or who stand silently by while it is advanced should be held accountable on Election Day to the best extent our resources make possible.
And Gary, let's face it, the politicians did not fear the pro-family movement as much in this recent debate to repeal the ban on open homosexuality in the military. They didn't fear them as much as they fear the homosexual activists. And I'm diametrically opposed to the homosexual lobby, but at least I'll give them credit for organizing their forces. And so I want to talk to you about, you know, what happened there. We saw some major ministries sort of pulling back. We don't have the Dr. Dobson anymore, who was a tremendous force in these fights. But the reality is that our grassroots power in the pro-family movement has disintegrated a little bit. We'll talk more about that with Gary Glenn in a minute.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to part one of our three-part interview with Gary Glenn, who is one of the preeminent pro-family activists, one of the top strategic minds for the pro-family movement that we have in this country. I think Gary could easily, and I've often said if he headed a national group, it would be probably the best national group on this issue. He's just tremendously talented. And Gary, let's get to the politics again. The homosexuals in the military vote, my sense was, and I was involved in this, of course, that we had lost a lot of grassroots power. Shouldn't a Richard Burr in North Carolina, a new Republican senator there, or a Democrat, Ben Nelson in Nebraska, shouldn't they have feared the pro-family movement retribution for casting a pro-homosexuals in the military vote?
Well, certainly they should have. I mean, my prayer over the years has been that the resources necessary to be politically effective in terms of making politicians afraid to vote in favor of this agenda, and those who know how to do so, may the two someday meet.
Well, let me interrupt you there, Gary. Why is the pro-family side so underfunded? You got any insights on that?
Well, I
wish you had a $2 million budget.
Well, I mean, certainly, I wish the same, and I think based on 30 years of experience that I would know what to do with it, and I think it would have a significant effect and produce some positive results. But the pro-family movement in all aspects is not underfunded, Pete.
Yeah.
Focus on the family, for example. What's their annual budget? $130 million?
Right.
And yet, as you and I have discussed over the past year, you see symptoms of the very problem we're talking about in that organization. For example, last year, the first time that President Obama had an opportunity to appoint a new member of the United States Supreme Court, not one, but two spokespersons for Focus on the Family publicly told the media that we should not be concerned if President Obama nominated an openly homosexual nominee to the United States Supreme Court. This was met with disbelief by many of us. We took steps to try and confirm it. Our attitude was, surely this can't be true. But the American Family Radio, for example, interviewed a second time the person from Focus on the Family who said it, first of all, to the Washington Post and confirmed that that was, in fact, their position. There were very few of us, you and me being the only two that I can remember, who were willing to even question Focus on the Family's obvious moral surrender on the issue as reflected by that position. But after having done so for nearly a year, finally, when I think it was American Family Radio reported my characterizing it as just that, moral surrender, finally, and only at that point, did Focus on the Family issue a public retraction of its earlier statement that Christians should not be concerned, we should not oppose a nominee to the United States Supreme Court just because of their quote-unquote sexual orientation. Well, if Focus on the Family is saying that for us to quote-unquote discriminate on the basis of so-called homosexual orientation was not appropriate, then on what basis would they continue to oppose the laws that homosexual activists and their political allies attempt to impose on cities and counties and in the Congress of the United States? I mean, it was just simply unthinkable. I'm glad that they came back on the right side of the issue under pressure, but it's unthinkable that Focus on the Family of all organizations would have ended up in that position in the first place. To this day, Family Research Council, who put out a statement comparable to Focus on the Family's position on United States Supreme Court nominees, has to this day not retracted that earlier statement publicly, even though their spokesman will retract it privately. They have never done so publicly.
Yeah.
So this is a symptom of a problem that the culture is is influencing the pro-family movement more than the pro-family movement is influencing the culture.
Yeah.
It's disappointing, but it doesn't make the burden and duty and responsibility of those of us who, as God gives us, you know, fit to see our duty, try to do it.
Right. We have to tell the truth.
The burden on you and me just because other organizations may be, retreating or in some cases outright surrendering on the issue.
Well, and we have to stay principled. And when you pull back from principled a position, the other side just eggs them on. It just encourages them more. We're dealing with homosexual activist organizations which are extremely aggressive, and if you start caving, they pick right up on it. And you notice that the homosexual lobby isn't caving on their goal of so-called homosexual marriage. They hold that out. That's their goal. They state that's what they're going to get. And they're also embracing now saying that homosexual so-called rights are should be preeminent, should be dominant over our historical American rights as Christians, as believers, freedom of conscience. So the other side doesn't pull back, Gary. It's interesting that our side always wants to cave.
Well, the lady, Chai Feldblum, who was appointed by Obama to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, said flatly that religious freedom and the homosexual agenda cannot peacefully coexist. One must yield to the other. And, of course, from her perspective and that of the Obama administration, religious freedom must yield to the homosexual agenda.
She actually said gays win, Christians lose.
Yeah, I mean, it is the single biggest threat to religious freedom in America today, and you have examples that abound. The Salvation Army is prohibited from even bidding on contracts to serve the poor offered by Cook County, Illinois. Catholic Charities in Boston was compelled to either start referring children for adoption to homosexual couples or be prohibited by one of these so-called gay rights laws from referring kids for adoption to anybody. And they had been responsible for the past century for 40% of all the adoption referrals in the city of Boston. They thankfully chose to get out of the business altogether rather than be compelled by law to have to refer children for adoption by homosexual couples, which, according to the Vatican, does spiritual and moral violence to children. I mean, those are just a couple of the examples. We had a police detective and president of the police officers union in Ann Arbor who was fired from his job, discriminated against, fired, for having dared ask a candidate for police chief if she supported the gay rights agenda. You had the African-American graduate student at Eastern Michigan University who was expelled, i.e. discriminated against, expelled from Eastern Michigan because she refused to counsel a homosexual man in such a way that it would support his homosexual relationship. She said as a Christian she could not in good conscience do so. You had Crystal Dixon, the vice president of the University of Toledo, fired from her job, discriminated against, because in her private capacity as a private citizen, she wrote a letter to the editor objecting to homosexual activists surrounding themselves, putting on themselves the mantra of the civil rights movement. And Pete, I salute you on that rally. I guess it was Illinois Family Institute, perhaps AFTA, had a hand in the rally of African-American pastors on Martin Luther King Day, objecting to homosexual activists hijacking the message of Dr. King to somehow promote, I mean, Dr. King having been a conservative Southern, with a small s, Southern Baptist pastor in the 50s and 60s, whose view from a biblical standpoint on the question of homosexual behavior would have been unquestionable, that he would have opposed it. And yet homosexual activists today use the legacy of Dr. King and the civil rights movement to suggest that someone's sexual behavior, two men engaging in sex with each other, is somehow comparable to the color of skin with which someone happens to be born.
And Gary, let me interrupt you there. One of the things that drives your opponents nuts is that you work hand in hand with African Americans, with Muslims, with whatever group you need to for a coalition to defend freedom, to defend traditional family ethics, and you do so, and you do it very effectively. That's how you You've mobilized against so-called gay rights laws in Michigan and other places. So this is a key part of our movement, isn't it? The African-American community is now being discriminated against incredibly in the name of civil rights.
Well, Julia Ward was an African-American woman expelled from Eastern Michigan. Crystal Dixon, an African-American woman fired by the University of Toledo. No doubt there are a myriad of other examples. I had the privilege on two occasions of chauffeuring around Michigan Dr. Alveda King, who is the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King. She came to Michigan once to campaign in favor of the Marriage Protection Amendment. She and I were on a televised debate that came out of the studios at Notre Dame, if I remember correctly. And she came on another occasion to campaign against the so-called sexual orientation laws that were on the ballot in several Michigan cities. I'd also note that her cousin, Dr. King's daughter, led the march on the Georgia state capitol in support of that state's marriage protection amendment. And former Democratic delegate Walter Fauntleroy from the District of Columbia is chairman, or at least used to be, of the National Organization for Marriage, which supported the Marriage Protection Amendment in the United States Congress. So clearly you have people with a claim to moral authority and experience and firsthand knowledge of the civil rights movement who agree with us that marriage should remain only between one man and one woman, and that homosexual behavior not only should not be the model for a radical redefinition of marriage, but that it is in and of itself, according to most Americans, immoral, but also a severe threat to public health. And on that basis, on all of those bases, we should continue to speak out against it.
Absolutely. We're talking to Gary Glenn, who's the president of American Family Association of Michigan. His website is afamichigan.org. The three interviews here will be on our website at americansfortruth.org. Just go to the Americans for Truth Hour button on the right side. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks, to the last part of our first segment of our interview with Gary Glenn, president of American Family Association of Michigan, top pro-family activist and strategist. Gary, let's get into this Go Proud controversy, Go Proud being the latest homosexual Republican group. They claim they are a principled conservative organization. I want to go through their agenda with you, and the fact is, any historically accurate definition of conservative cannot include promoting homosexuality. Of course, there are Republicans who can vote for conservative planks, who can vote Republican, who can support pro-gun. You know, they could be against gun control. They could be for lower taxes, etc. But when you as an organization are constituted to advance aspects of the homosexual agenda, you cannot be called a conservative organization.
Oh, I agree, and I don't. Honestly, I hope we won't spend a whole lot of time debating that question, because even to debate it lends credibility to the argument that maybe it is conservative. I mean, clearly, any organization that is committed to radically redefining marriage to include individuals in the homosexual lifestyle who want homosexual couples to be able to adopt children, who think that Catholic Charities should be forced against its doctrinal beliefs to refer kids for adoption to homosexual couples, all of that agenda, who think that the United States military should be forced to integrate open homosexuality into the ranks of our Marines and soldiers and airmen and sailors. If that's the agenda of an organization, it is clearly not conservative by any definition of conservatism as we understand it. And
well, let's go into the controversy here. Go Proud, of course, has been welcomed as a sponsor to CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, which comes up in February. And let's just go. I got their 211 plank here, Gary. I want to go through this with you. Tax reform. We support replacing the current tax code with the fair tax. Okay, you and I could agree to that. Until then, we support death tax repeal. We could agree to that, too. But then here's the key one. Domestic partner tax equity. Now, what they're talking about here is bringing in homosexual so-called couples to be treated as married couples under federal law.
Right, and everything else is just cover. The point of the organization is to advance the homosexual agenda. Frankly speaking, the Fair Tax Organization doesn't need the help of homosexual activists to promote the fair tax. The National Rifle Association doesn't need the assistance of a homosexual activist group to promote our constitutional Second Amendment gun rights. It's all window dressing. It's all cover so that they can claim we agree with conservatives on all these other issues in order to lend credibility to themselves, in order to promote their agenda. It's what they're all about, GOP proud. They're openly homosexual in nature, and they don't, you know, they don't deny that that's their objective, is to promote the homosexual agenda. Everything else is nothing but cover. And CPAC, I think, should, the so-called Conservative Political Action Conference, should lose sponsorships, should lose funding, should get a new chairman. I see that apparently the chairman, David Keene, is going to step down. There's not been any official announcement that has anything to do with this controversy. Reportedly, the board of directors of CPAC initially failed to invite GOP Proud as a sponsor on a tie vote of the board of directors, and a revote was taken, which apparently by some narrow margin was approved. They ought to have new board members. And if they don't, then just like politicians, there should be a day of accountability to the public or to their constituency. And thankfully, some pro-family organizations, the Heritage Foundation, other groups have withdrawn from formal participation in CPAC. The American Family Association is promoting the Values Voter Summit in September as an alternative to CPAC. If CPAC sees the error of its ways, that it too is engaging in moral surrender by allowing GOP Proud to be a sponsor and no longer does so in the future, then they should be rewarded. But if they don't, then they should be punished. And just like politicians, they understand punishment and reward. It's a fairly simple principle. And if we intend to hold our own in the culture war, so to speak, we need to be prepared to unabashedly, unequivocally, unhesitantly enforce that standard. If people put our children at risk, our future as a country at risk, and our social standards and our culture and our morals at risk, they should be held accountable and should be punished to the degree that our resources and energy and courage allow, make possible. And any hesitancy on our part to hold accountable those who are helping to support the homosexual agenda will only further advance that agenda.
Absolutely. And some of these guys are phonies in one sense. Here's plank four, respecting the proper role of the judiciary. This is Go Proud. We believe our Constitution should be respected and that judges appointed to the federal bench should recognize, quote, the proper and appropriate role of the judiciary as laid out by our founding fathers. Now, Gary, I don't remember Go Proud condemning the decision in California by a single judge to overturn the will of the people in supporting a constitutional amendment in that state to protect marriage. I don't remember. Do you remember Go Proud? And log cabin Republicans denouncing that?
But Pete Goproud is one of the ones that filed an amicus with the court urging them to force the military to accept.
No, I think that was log cabin, Gary. That might have been. Oh, did Goproud do an amicus to that?
Yeah. I mean, they were in support of the lawsuit that forced, because not only did you have a vote by Congress, you had a ruling by a federal judge that declared the congressionally written law, written by the elected representatives of the people of this country, the pre-existing law that said homosexual behavior was prohibited in the United States military, Go Proud went to the courts and said, you should throw that out. Does that fall within their definition of the proper role of the judiciary, is to declare law from the bench? I mean, this is nothing but a hypocritical organization. It's nothing but window dressing. Log Cabin Republicans, the previous homosexual Republican organization, had lost credibility over the last decade, so this GOP Proud group was brought in to replace it. And once it loses credibility, some other group will step up in its path. I mean, these are not new tactics. They're going to try a new one. Once each new entity they form loses its credibility or its effectiveness, but we just have to be forthright and steadfast in standing up and exposing them whenever they raise their heads.
All right, Gary, you got a minute. Talk about the so-called libertarians and how they support groups like, many libertarians do support groups like Go Proud at the expense of the traditional family values plank of the Republican Party.
Well, I've heard it said about the Tea Party organization that they're quote-unquote libertarian. The truth is, most of the local Tea Party organizations in America resulted from the American Family Association's Tea Party page. And I don't say that frivolously. I mean, numerically, you can count them, and most of them started by social conservatives who got the impetus from it from the American Family Association's Tea Party website back in April of 2009. If the conservative agenda and those who support it as political candidates are going to be elected and be successful, they have to have the support of social conservatives and economic conservatives and gun right conservatives and strong national defense conservatives. They will not be successful if they were to succeed in their effort to sideline or discredit the social conservatives such as you and me who are simply standing up for God and country and our traditional family values.
Okay, we'll have to end it there, Gary. We're going to come back next week with Gary Glenn. We have a lot to talk about. The SPLC, a leftist organization labeling both Gary's group and mine hate groups. We've got the awful hate that Gary Glenn himself has been victimized with there in Michigan. So we look forward to the next parts of our interview with Gary Glenn of the American Family Association. I'm Pete LaBarber with Americans for Truth. And we will be back next week.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.